This week and continuing on for a while, we're going to be talking about creation. And what we want to do before we jump into creation is kind of back up and talk about God. I think we need to make sure before we begin this journey that we're going to go on through creation that we're clear that this is not a scientific study of the Bible. That's not what this is. Instead, it's a study of what the Bible says about creation. I want you to understand that. And today's lesson, though, we need to realize the importance of our view and make sure that we have the proper perspective of God. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, because God in His wisdom, He created all things, and we'll see that, and I think we understand that. And He recorded the essential parts and the essential issues in His Word. And of course, we are going to deal with some science. Absolutely, there'll be some comments on science, but I want you to understand this. This is that when I teach, this will be my focus. Is our priority, and my priority is going to be to know God better and not to know science better. That is the key, is to know God better. And so as an introduction to creation, we want to establish a baseline of who God is. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. But what I want to ask this question is, because one common question I think that we're often asked, by the way, when someone says that and you're going, well, I've never asked that. Think about that. But one common question that Christians are often asked by their coworkers is how we explain the existence of God. I get that question. And I'm not trying to sound, braggadocious, but I get that question a lot. Well, how do you explain the existence of God? And there's one answer, and the answer is faith. That's the answer. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, let's start there, because I want you to understand, and I'm going to say this, don't turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so there's no other answer to how we explain the existence of God. We don't need to prove the existence of God, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But as Christians, we walk by faith. And the Bible says that we accept God by faith, and that we believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." You must, that's faith. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we need to understand, because the Bible is our basis for what we believe. I mean, this is the basis for what we believe. We believe in God as it's presented in the Bible. So with that, go to Genesis chapter 1. By the way, I ran out of bookmarks this morning. I was bookmarking all the verses, just letting you know. I had to use a gum wrapper at one point, and then I just gave up and started writing page numbers, so you're in for it. We'll do our best to get through everything in the time allotted. But let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and let's start looking about how do we know God exists. Well, first of all, God's Word begins with the proclamation that He and He alone existed from eternity past. I mean, let's just read the first four words of the Bible. It says, "In the beginning, God." And then it goes on to say, "created the heaven and the earth." Obviously, we're going to be right here for several weeks to come. But it says, "In the beginning, God." Now, think about this. If God had wanted to prove Himself to the world, don't you think He could? I mean, if He wanted to elaborate more, He would have and could have. He possesses the ability and the articulation and the power to do that. But He chose not to. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. God saw no need to go into greater detail than to say, "In the beginning, God." That's all He chose to share with us. Belief in Him as the one true God comes by faith and trust in Him and what the Bible says about Him. And God knows that, and God wants that. We could have had chapter upon chapter about God, but instead He chooses to say, "In the beginning, God." And as we look through Scripture, we see that God describes Himself to Moses. You don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 3, He says, "I am that I am." He's essentially saying, "I'm the one who is and will be." God's eternal. He's self-existent, and he's revealed throughout all his word. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. It says, listen to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is John recording through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I mean, that pretty much sums up who God wants us to know that he is. And we accept that you have to have faith. Now, I haven't even mentioned any science yet, because it's going to take faith to believe who God is. That's the reason that we're starting this lesson like this. What more do we need? This describes, when we read Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it describes the only holy, omnipotent, omniscient God of the universe. You know, in Genesis right here, it says, in the beginning, God. Before God acted, the world as we know it did not exist. I mean, do you realize that man, we've created nothing? We're assemblers. We're not creators. We're assemblers. That's what man is. But God created. That's a huge difference. You know, before God acted, there was no matter. And we'll talk about time, and we'll talk about matter, and we'll talk about space. But before God created, in the beginning, God, he created matter. You know, the uncreated made the created. Think about that. The uncreated made the created. The infinite made the finite. That's how things work. The eternal made the temporal. That's the way things are going right now, and we're seeing this, and we'll learn this. The necessary made the contingent. We are not necessary. We think we're essential. In fact, our government called some of us essential, but we are just contingent. He is necessary. We are contingent. The changeless made the changing. Now, I'm glad we get to change, but I'm more glad that he's changeless. I'm more glad he does not change. But that's kind of the perspective I want you to understand. And so what does this mean? In the beginning, God. Well, this tells us that God existed even before there was time. And this affirms that God is eternal and that he's self-existent. And there's we'll look at all kinds of scripture here in a second to talk about this. And the Bible starts with the assumption. This is the assumption that God exists. Because he doesn't explain anything else. He just says, in the beginning, God. Now, as Christians, we start with the assumption that God exists also. That's how we approach things. And that we also assume, and we have the assumption and the belief, that his word is true. And this serves as our starting point for our beliefs. There's a God in heaven, and he's given us his word. We say that. I mean, those are non-negotiables for me. It started as an assumption, and then it's a non-negotiable for me. There's a God in heaven, and he's delivered the word to his word to mankind through the Bible. This is called, now if you want to get into apologetics and everything, this is called presuppositional thinking. And so what that means is we presuppose that what God says about himself is true. We come into the conversation already knowing some things and believing some things. That's called presuppositional thinking. Now you're like, that's a big word. I don't have that. You do. You do. Absolutely. You might not. See, this is one of those things where like baby Christians are like, I don't quite understand this, but I know this. Well, you have this. You have. If you're saved, you have presuppositional thinking going on in your life. And here's the beautiful thing about it. Jesus Christ set the example for us of presuppositional thinking through his entire life, in his ministry, and his teaching. Let me just give you some examples of that. All of Jesus' messages, when you're reading about him talking to people, presupposed that the scriptures were true. You never saw Jesus say, well, let's back up for a second. Let me tell you. So there's this word, and the word is true. I am the word, and you need to believe the word for you to believe about what I'm about to go say. Jesus never said that. Now, before I get into that, let me just give you personal testimony. I've witnessed to people in both ways. I've witnessed to people and said, well, first of all, you got to believe that there's a God. And then you got, and honestly, what I've noticed is it bogs down my witnessing. I've also witnessed to people with presuppositional thinking, not knowing that that's what I'm doing. Don't think that I've like had a trial. I'm just remembering back to when I'm talking to people. There are times where I've approached people with the presuppositional thinking, saying there is a God, His word is true, this is what the Bible says. And every time preacher says, well, the answer, he says, they come to him for counseling, and he says, well, the Bible says this. That's called presuppositional thinking. He's already pre-assumed that the Bible is true. And let me tell you, when you witness to people and not saying, well, let's back up first and let's understand that there is a God and then he's given us this. But if you witness to people the other way, like Jesus does, I found it to be a little bit more successful. I'll just be honest with you. But let's think about this. Jesus Christ knew Scripture so well that learned men, according to the Gospel of John chapter 7, learned men marveled at him. So he knew Scripture well enough that learned men marveled at him, and he quoted Scripture as historical fact. He absolutely did. He was referencing to some, and by the way, Jesus didn't tippy-toe around some of the easy parts of Scripture. He referenced some of the most challenging, if you will, most attacked accounts in the Bible. Let me just give you some examples. In Matthew chapter 19, Christ just flat out spoke about creation. And he didn't say, well, first there's these other theories. And then he just said, this is creation. That's an example to us on how we should be able to talk about it. He talked about Noah and the flood. When you read these accounts in your Bible reading, look at the fact that Jesus doesn't like, let me lay a bunch of groundwork first. He does not do that. He just, it's true. Let me tell you about it. He also does that with Sodom and Gomorrah in Matthew chapter 10. He does that with Lot and his wife in Luke chapter 7. He does that with Jonah in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said the writings of Moses in Luke chapter 16. He said the writings of Moses are more powerful than even someone rising from the dead. That's what he says. He says these things. He defended himself against Satan with the word. He says, when Christ says, as it is written, that's presuppositional thinking. That means I already know, I already accept that it's true. That if you want to have a biblical view on creation in the next X number of weeks, then here's how you should do that with every word in here. Whatever this says is true. It's true. It's matter of fact. We must rely on God's word as the starting point for all the judgments and beliefs that we have in our life. That's just how it has to be. And others will say, well, you might have heard this, and this is one of those things where you go, well, I've never heard that. Okay. Others say, okay, explain to this and leave the Bible out of it. That's what they say. That's what they say at work. Well, give me the answer, but don't use the Bible. If you're running across that, when discussing God or creation or absolute truth or morality or science or the Bible itself, you have to say, I cannot. I must not. Because the Bible is our foundation. Go to Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, let's just look at the very last part of Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 47. It says, whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Everything, you know what this says? Everything we believe and how we live is based on what the Bible says. Everything we believe. Does that include creation? Everything we believe. Does that include politics? Everything we believe. How about patriotism? That used to be a thing on September 11th. Now it's Grandfather's Day. Yeah, I worked it in. It used to be called Patriots Day. Did you know that? September 11th used to be called Patriots Day. Give me a calendar which still says Patriots Day. You won't find it. They call it Grandparents Day now. No, I love grandparents. I had great grandparents. That's disgusting. Get another day. This is Patriots Day. But everything we believe, its foundation should be from the Word of God. Disregarding Scripture is what this says. Disregarding Scripture will result in, get this, disaster. If you don't think your house falling down is not disaster, I don't know what is. If you disregard the Word of God in your life, there will be disaster in your life. That's what this says, because our foundation would be destroyed. Our starting point is and must always be the Bible. And we see the importance of this from the very beginning. In the beginning, God created. Even in the Garden of Eden, the battle was over authority. Even when Satan came to Eve, he said, did God really say that? I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and we'll get to that. But it's always been, the serpent has always used that tact. But listen, that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. By the way, if you don't want to read the paraphrase, our foundation on what we believe and what we do is the Word of God. God exists. I want you to know, though, science is possible because God upholds the universe in a logical, orderly way. And because God made our minds able to think and to reason logically. And because of those things, we have science. And let me just say this, the science is in our favor. But let me also say this. Just like when we were looking at the life of Paul about 6 months ago, and we said these historical markers that are recorded outside of the Word of God align with the Word of God, we don't need those. I don't need those to believe the Word of God. I absolutely do not, because I have faith, because I'm already presuppositional thinking that God is and that His Word is true. It's cool when they line up. And when they don't line up, there's an obvious reason why. Just follow the money. And here's the deal. And I was thinking about this, and I was talking to my wife about this. We could have a slideshow and all these scientific markers. And I could give you all this dating and all the errors in the methods of the dating. And I could give you all these reasons, and I could tell you all these years and numbers. But will that help you at Walmart? Will that help you with your neighbor? Knowing that there is a God and the foundation of your beliefs is in God and everything we do comes from God and His Word, that will help you way more than a bunch of science. All that I have. I have all that science that we can show. And we'll touch on it just to prove how cool we are. But I'm telling you what you need to know and what I need to know, what I need to practice and what you need to practice is that we know there's a God. And in the beginning, God. God. That will help us. Because God alone existed before everything and everyone, He is greater than all creation. That's what in the beginning God means. He is greater than all creation. He is greater. Turn to Daniel chapter 4. While I'm saying this, because some of you might need help finding Daniel chapter 4. But turn to Daniel chapter 4. He is greater than any force on the universe. I want you to understand that. He is greater than everyone and everything, including the spirit world. God is greater. Now, I love this on Daniel chapter 4, and I want to encourage you to really read accounts like this. Think to yourself, how many accounts in the Bible are recorded from someone who wasn't saved and then got saved? And you're like, well, we knew Paul and Saul. Yeah, but there's only like one account of Saul before he was saved. And it was brutal. Don't get me wrong. He was there during a stoning. But Nebuchadnezzar, we know a lot of pre-saved Nebuchadnezzar and what I would say post-saved or after salvation, Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel chapter 4, listen to what he says about God. Let's just read in Daniel, and I'll start reading in verse number 35. This is Nebuchadnezzar. It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed, that's considered, are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand, that means resist, none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? That means He has supreme authority. I like this. Let's keep reading. verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. That's pretty cool. That's telling me that God has supreme authority. God has supreme authority. The entire universe and everything in it, including all spiritual powers and humanity, are subject to God's authority and are completely dependent on Him. Take your Bibles to Psalm 148. To go to, you're in Daniel, go back to Psalm 148. In my Bible, ahead of Psalm 148, it says, praise from the heavens. But I want you to listen to these. Because I just said that He is the supreme authority. That the entire universe and everything in it, including all the spiritual powers in the universe, are subject to God's authority. And then look at Psalm 148. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. We'll explain that in the weeks to come. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Isn't that awesome? He hath also established them forever and ever, for He made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel and the people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. What an attitude we should have to recognize that the God in heaven created everything. He's always existed. He is. He was. He is. He is to come. That's what the Word of God says about Him. All are subject to God is what we just read. Every single thing we just read and every single thing that those represent are subject to God. He is far greater than everything and everyone. He is beyond, and it's okay. He is beyond our understanding. Wouldn't it be weird if He wasn't? I mean, like, I got this problem. I got this issue. I got this struggle. But I'm asking someone that I completely understand and can figure out to help me. Or I got this problem, this issue, and this struggle, and I'm asking the Creator of the universe, someone who's so magnifical that it's beyond comprehension how wonderful and powerful He is, to intervene on my behalf. We cannot comprehend one who has no beginning and no end. You cannot comprehend that. I am not able to communicate exactly entirely what that is and what that's like. Just like heaven last week when we finished the ABCs. We don't understand that. We cannot understand one who is never in need of anything. We can't understand. And if someone tells you they can, don't believe them. Don't believe them. We cannot fathom one who sees everything and yet, because He is a spirit, cannot be seen by the physical eye. But He sees everything. We cannot grasp how it is possible for Him to reside in heaven and yet always be everywhere. There's skeptics. There's ugly people out there that have ugly answers to all these things. They give you an answer. There's people that give you answers. That is a flag right there. We're telling you that God is so great. He's so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing he cannot do. Boom, boom. We sing it. We believe it. We read it. And they say, well, but I can give you an explanation for that. Really? Listen, I work for a construction firm. I can't give you an answer. There's doctors with PhDs that study this thing for a living. They know the Greek and the Hebrew. They can't give you an answer. But is there some college kid, you know, with purple hair? And he can give you an answer? I mean, I can't give you an answer. I'm unlearned and ignorant. But people that do this for a living, they can't give you. But there's this professor. You know, her and her wife, they tell you what they think they believe. No, I'm being serious. Watch who you listen to. Don't fall for these traps. We can't grasp these things. We cannot comprehend how three persons are one God. But I believe it. I believe it. I would not have woken my family up and come here today if I didn't believe it. And actually, I don't have to wake my family up. They're all adults. But you know what I mean. I believe it. God is far superior to anyone or anything, and no one can be compared to him. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. That's what it says. And it's true. You know, the way we describe God's infinite superiority over all, that we say that he's sovereign. You might have heard that word a lot in the news lately, the sovereign has died, the sovereignness. You know, we're free from that country. We won a war, and we got independence. I don't know why you guys care so much, but they talk about this sovereign over there. No. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. It means ruler. It means supreme in power, chief, effective in the highest degree. That's sovereign. You know, the Bible often refers to God as the Most High. Psalm 83:18 says, the Most High over all the earth. He's the sovereign. You know, God alone, God alone tells us everything came into existence because God was the only one that existed before all things were created. So he's the only one that has the right story. In the beginning, God. That's what it says. He alone can tell us how everything got started. Man has various theories. Oh, they've come up with these theories of the universe. But they're just that. They're theories. They're hypotheses. And listen, I'll just be honest with you, and then I'm going to be done. That doesn't mean that I wasn't honest with you up to this point. But I love science. I mean, I've read the books on the error and carbon 14 dating, and I get it, and I do believe it, that there's these errors. But there's also this very, very powerful thing that we'll look at in the weeks to come called observational science, which is a true form of science. In fact, all scientists, if they knew that you weren't talking about creation and you weren't talking about God, and you asked them, well, how do you come up with your conclusions? They would say, well, observation's our biggest tool. And we'd say, yeah, and it also applies to creation and God. But, you know, then they would go, well, actually, there's this. You know, but observational science is very true. We don't see things, you know, soups poppily randomly happening in the universe. No one's ever recorded another Big Bang. No one's ever recorded any of these other things. We don't see transitional mutants from kinds to species going on. We don't see that. There's no examples of that. There's never been examples of that. The fossil record doesn't show examples of that. You don't walk around saying, well, that person's in transition, except we do, but that's another lesson. But you never see someone in this transitional phase where their tail's halfway short and then they're a little bit, you know, I mean, some of us are freer than others, but that doesn't mean anything. You just don't see that kind of stuff. It doesn't exist. You're a fool to think it does. But see, again, I say that because I have faith, not because I have authority because of what I do for a living. Or I just have faith in what this book says. And we're not going to, I don't want to be ugly. I'm not going to be ugly. When I teach, I'm going to I'm going to be gone the next 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be gone a couple for work. So Ben's going to be in here. But I'm not going to be ugly and attacking. Because again, it's not that you know science better. It's that you know God more. That's what this is about. That's where I'm coming from. And again, man has these various ways and all that. But these conjectures of man are contradicted by God Himself. He was there. He tells us He was there. You want a witness? Well, no one witnessed these things. God says in the beginning, God. So that means everything we're going to hear is coming right from the source. From God. He has given us the true account. And only God can tell how everything came into existence. Because He was the only one there. He gives us an attendance list. Let me read the roll to who was there when it all started. All right, first name, God. Now, later on, we learn that, you know, Jesus Christ, we understand these things, but we also know the three in one. We've talked about all that extensively, so we know that in the beginning, God. So everything that we're going to learn in the weeks to come are a true account. And everything else that you hear or you're bombarded with or that these other people believe, they weren't there. And they don't even have a book from someone who was there. They don't even have a written account of someone who was there. In fact, they're 2,000 years late to the party, and sometimes later than that. And we're going to believe them? Not at all. Not at all. God is real. We need to have faith. The science is going to be cool. We need to have faith. We need to know more about God. We can deal with the science. Everything has an answer. I might not have the answer, but everything has an answer. Yeah. You know, and here, and I know this class, you're going to ask some question afterwards, and it's going to be some weird random question. You're going to be like, what about the sequoia trees? And I'll give you an answer, but it won't be the answer that you like, because like I'm not going to know the answer, because I wasn't there, but God was. Okay? That's how this is going to go. But it's going to be exciting, because as we look at the world around us, we're going to learn more about God. Let's get ready for Big People Church.